Ask a room full of psychonauts, which is the deeper medicine, ayahuasca or psilocybin, and you'll get a fistfight dressed up as a conversation. The truth is quieter and more interesting. These two psychedelics end up knocking on the same molecular door, the serotonin 5-HT2A receptor, the master switch behind almost every classic psychedelic experience. But they arrive by completely different routes, carry very different pharmacological baggage, and sit in very different places on the map of science, safety, and the law. One is a single mushroom molecule now marching through phase 3 clinical trials. The other is a purgative Amazonian brew whose very ability to work by mouth depends on a bit of plant chemistry ingenuity that also makes it genuinely dangerous to mix with common medications. Below, we get into why those cells read the way they do. This article is education, not medical advice. Two molecules, one receptor. Start with the destination, because that's where they agree. Both ayahuasca and psilocybin produce their signature effects primarily by activating the 5-HT2A serotonin receptor on cortical neurons. Stimulate that receptor and you get the cascade neuroscientists associate with the psychedelic state: increased neural entropy, loosened top-down predictive control, and, in the language of the popular rebus and entropic brain models, a temporary flattening of the brain's habitual hierarchies. That shared endpoint is why an ayahuasca night and a high-dose mushroom session can feel like cousins. The roots there could hardly be more different. Psilocybin is elegantly simple. It is a prodrug, biologically fairly inert until your body strips off a phosphate group to yield psilocin, the actual 5-HT2A agonist. Eat the mushroom, dephosphorylate the molecule, and the pharmacology takes care of itself. One plant, one conversion, one active compound. Ayahuasca is a pharmacological hack. Ayahuasca is a two-part invention. Its visionary punch comes from DMT, a 5-HT2A agonist in its own right, but DMT taken by mouth is normally destroyed almost instantly by monoamine oxidase A in the gut and liver. On its own, drinking DMT does essentially nothing. The Amazonian solution, refined over centuries, is to brew the DMT-containing leaf, typically Psychotria viridis, together with the Banisteriopsis caapi vine, which is rich in beta-carboline alkaloids, harmine, harmaline, and tetrahydroharmine. These beta-carbolines are reversible MAOA inhibitors. By switching off the enzyme that would shred the DMT, they let it survive digestion and reach the brain. It is functionally an orally active DMT delivery system assembled from two plants that do nothing much alone. That MAOI layer is not just a delivery trick. It may contribute to the effects and the therapeutic story. Beta-carbolines have their own pharmacology, and there is genuinely intriguing preclinical work suggesting the harmala alkaloids in DMT can promote neurogenesis. In cell and rodent studies, harmine stimulated proliferation of human neural progenitor cells, and DMT was shown to modulate adult neurogenesis via the sigma-1 receptor. We flag this loudly, that neurogenesis and sigma-1 narrative is preclinical and mechanistic, compelling in a dish and in mice, but not demonstrated to drive clinical outcomes in humans. It is a hypothesis, not an established fact, and it is routinely overstated in wellness marketing. Pharmacokinetics, how the hours actually unfold. On paper, the two experiences run for a similar length, roughly 4 to 6 hours of acute effects, but they feel structurally different. Psilocybin comes on gradually over 20 to 40 minutes, builds to a plateau, and eases down in a single coherent arc. Ayahuasca's come up is faster and famously harsher. Nausea, a churning gut, and for many people, the purge, vomiting and sometimes diarrhea, arriving within the first hour. In ceremony, the purge is often framed not as a side effect, but as part of the medicine, a physical release. Neuroscience is agnostic on the metaphysics. Pharmacologically, it reflects DMT's and the beta-carbolines' effects on the gut and brainstem. The defining pharmacokinetic difference is the MAOI dimension, and it deserves its own warning label, because harmine and its relatives inhibit MAOA, the enzyme that also breaks down serotonin, norepinephrine, and dietary tyramine. Ayahuasca temporarily changes how the body handles a whole class of substances. Combine it with drugs that raise serotonin, SSRIs, SNRIs, some tricyclics, MDMA, certain triptans, and you risk serotonin syndrome, a potentially life-threatening surge in serotonergic signaling. Combine the MAO inhibition with tyramine-rich foods, such as aged cheeses, cured meats, and fermented products, or with stimulants, and you risk a dangerous spike in blood pressure. Psilocybin carries none of this MAOI machinery, which is a major reason its interaction profile is comparatively benign. The phenomenology, purge, vision, and cultural frame. Users consistently describe ayahuasca as more visceral and more overtly visionary. Intense visual imagery, encounters framed as spirits or teachers, and a strong somatic, sometimes ordeal-like quality anchored by the purge. Psilocybin experiences are often described as more fluid and emotional, with visual distortion and geometry, but usually without the same gut-wrenching physicality. These differences are partly pharmacological and partly cultural. Ayahuasca is almost always taken inside a ceremonial container. A facilitator, songs, darkness, a group, often several consecutive nights, while psilocybin, in a Western clinical or service center context, is typically a single guided session with eye shades and music. Set and setting are not garnish here, they are active ingredients that shape what the same 5-HT2A activation becomes. Clinical evidence, a lopsided scoreboard. This is where the two genuinely diverge and honesty matters. Psilocybin has the far stronger evidence base. Compass Pathways' synthetic psilocybin has now met its primary endpoint in two pivotal phase 3 trials for treatment-resistant depression, COMP-R5, reported in 2025 with about 258 participants, and COMP-6, reported in February 2026, with the company targeting an FDA submission in late 2026. Earlier work includes Griffiths and colleagues in 2016, showing substantial sustained reductions in depression and anxiety in patients with life-threatening cancer, and Carhart-Harris and colleagues in 2021, which found psilocybin roughly comparable to the SSRI escitalopram on the primary outcome in moderate to severe depression, a trial that did not show statistical superiority, a nuance often lost in headlines. There are also encouraging early signals in addiction and end-of-life distress. Ayahuasca's clinical evidence is much thinner. Its flagship study is Paljano Fontes and colleagues in 2019 in Psychological Medicine, a randomized placebo-controlled trial of a single ayahuasca session in treatment-resistant depression. It was genuinely rigorous, but it enrolled just 29 patients, 14 on ayahuasca and 15 on placebo. Beyond it, the human data are largely observational, naturalistic, or drawn from long-term ceremonial users, which cannot control for expectation, culture, or self-selection. So while both show antidepressant promise, psilocybin is years and multiple large trials ahead. Anyone claiming ayahuasca is a proven depression treatment is running past the evidence. Safety. Different hazards, not safer versus dangerous. Both substances raise heart rate and blood pressure acutely, and both can trigger frightening psychological states. Acute anxiety, confusion, or destabilization, particularly in people with a personal or family history of psychosis or bipolar disorder for whom classic psychedelics are generally contraindicated. Neither is physically addictive in the conventional sense. Where they part company is the interaction and physical load profile. Ayahuasca's MAO inhibition makes drug and dietary interactions the headline risk. The combination with SSRIs and other serotonergic medications is the single most important danger because it can precipitate serotonin syndrome, and documented, if rare, case reports exist. Many retreats advise tapering serotonergic antidepressants with a washout of roughly 2 to 4 weeks before drinking, a decision that itself carries real psychiatric risk and should never be made without a prescriber. The purge adds dehydration and cardiovascular strain, and ayahuasca is contraindicated in significant cardiac, hepatic, and some psychiatric conditions. Psilocybin's risks are more contained and better characterized. Transient nausea, blood pressure elevation, and the psychological hazard of a difficult experience, which is why supervised settings and screening matter. Vulnerable populations, pregnant people, those with cardiovascular disease, and anyone with psychotic spectrum vulnerability should treat both as off-limits absent expert medical oversight. None of this is medical advice. It is a map of where the sharp edges are, legal and cultural status in 2026. Federally, both sit in the same place, Schedule 1 in the United States. Psilocybin is Schedule 1 as itself. Ayahuasca is illegal by virtue of its DMT content. But the access picture differs sharply. Psilocybin now has state-regulated, non-federal pathways, Oregon's licensed psilocybin service centers, Colorado's healing centers, and New Mexico, which in 2025 became the first state to authorize medical psilocybin by legislation, plus broader decriminalization in various cities. No FDA-approved psilocybin product exists yet, though Compass's Phase 3 results have put one plausibly on the horizon. Ayahuasca's legal access runs through a narrower door, religious freedom exemptions. Following the 2006 Supreme Court case Gonzalez versus O Centro Espírita Beneficente União do Vegetal, under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, a small number of churches, the UDV and branches of Santo Daime among them, hold recognized rights to use ayahuasca sacramentally, and additional exemptions have continued to be granted. Colorado's 2022 Natural Medicine Health Act also decriminalized DMT-containing plants for personal adult use. Outside those specific carve-outs, possessing or serving ayahuasca remains a federal offense. Culturally, the contrast is stark. Psilocybin is being medicalized and regulated, while ayahuasca remains embedded in indigenous and syncretic religious traditions that predate and often resist the clinical frame. So, which one? That's the wrong question, and it's worth saying plainly. Which is stronger and which is better collapse a comparison that is really about fit. Psilocybin is the single-molecule, evidence-forward option on a track toward regulated medicine, with a comparatively clean interaction profile. Ayahuasca is a pharmacologically ingenious, culturally rich sacrament whose MAOI chemistry is both its magic and its hazard, and whose clinical evidence, and while promising, remains early. The neuroscience says they meet at the 5-HT2A receptor. Everything else, the purge, the vine, the prodrug, the trials, the law, is what makes them two different worlds. This article is education, not medical advice.